Good morning, and welcome to the Lord's house this morning on the second Sunday of the season called Eastertide, the period between Easter Sunday and Pentecost. As we do each week, please take a moment to sign a friendship register at the end of each row and pass it to your neighbor seated next to you. Elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons, please note we will have our April board meeting at noon today in the upper room. We do need a quorum to vote on a nomination for a new deacon. And in youth group will be today from 3 to 5 upstairs in the youth room. And please see the bulletin announcement page. There are several committee meetings coming up. Property committee on Monday, outreach on Tuesday, and the Men of Faith Fellowship will meet at 6 o'clock on Thursday. The Church Women United meeting will be Friday morning at 9:30 with lunch following. Lunch reservation info is in the bulletin. And also, please note that in the bulletin, we made a slight change in the wording of the doxology. It's been changed to use the pronoun him in reference to God. This is actually how the hymn was originally composed, and that's what is in the hymnal. So we simply changed the bulletin to match the hymnal. And Kathy and I want to thank everyone again for all the help with Palm Sunday events and the Easter egg hunt and other fun things for the children of Barrie. And also the Easter sunrise breakfast. I think we had a dozen or more folks helping with that. And we could still use a few more mowers. No, not lawnmower machines. We have plenty of those, but a few folks to operate the lawn mowing machines. Many of these are riding mowers, so it's not so much a physical activity. If you're interested in helping with that, please see Dave Tarver. And we will be offering a Christian beliefs class, which is in preparation for baptism, likely starting in late May or early June. This will be during the Sunday school hour and last from 4 to 6 weeks. This session will focus on younger children who feel ready to consider the sacrament of baptism. If you believe your child may be ready for such a class, please contact myself or Kathy or Pastor Dennis. While baptism is the ultimate goal, it doesn't have to occur right away. We just want to plant the seeds of faith in our children and let them make the personal decision. And parents are welcome to attend with their children if they would like. So again, contact Pastor Dennis or Kathy or myself if you believe your child might be ready. And thank you again, Nanette, for sharing your gift of music ministry with us this morning in Lenore's absence. All right, may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Be glad, Israel, because of your Creator. Praise the Lord. We'll now sing number 215, all stanzas of Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain.
Of the triumph that is
May we bow for a word of prayer. Eternal God, we once again give you thanks for the privilege to gather in your house for worship and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. While our hearts are heavy with the news of war in Ukraine and death from COVID and senseless crimes and murders in our own communities, here in your house, we find comfort, security, and serenity, knowing that all these things are overcome and we are victorious even in death through the amazing gift of forgiveness and eternal life made possible through our Lord and Savior, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning.
Looks like all our younger children are sleeping in this morning, so we'll go straight to the pastoral prayer this morning. Number of people for us to keep in prayer as we journey through the new week. First of all, Jill Gregory is looking to have surgery Thursday of this week, North Kansas City Hospital, for a replacement of the left hip joint. A biggest concern for Jill is she has some significant respiratory concerns even as she undergoes any kind of surgery, so please keep Jill in your prayers. Larry Pitts, he often is with us here in this service, but as I've mentioned before, he has been dealing with this stage 2 level of a cancerous growth in his neck, and it's also now been discovered that he has some cancer in the right jaw, and so he's going to be undergoing an extensive surgery on the 13th of May. Please keep Larry in your prayers. Lon Anderson, again, dealing with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So reason why we're not seeing him at the second service, but please keep Lon in prayer as he is striving to continue to work even as he undergoes treatments. We lift up Betty and Jerry Donahue each week with that prospect of the kidney transplant for Jerry, but he also had to undergo a surgery this past week, but is home. We lift up John Adams as that neck vertebrae surgery has been postponed. We also remember Gene Booth and Gene Kimmerling at McCrite. We always keep Rihanna Ralston in our prayers. We continue to remember Rick Parvin and Carolyn Johnson, Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law Chris, David Brownfield, Madeline Pulliam, and others that we have been remembering for several weeks. So, with all of these people upon our hearts, let us go to our Lord in prayer this morning as we bow our heads. Merciful and loving God, we give thanks for the privilege to offer you worship this second Sunday of the Easter's tide season. As Christ's resurrected appearance has brought so much joy to those who had previously witnessed his crucifixion and death, we pray, O God, that the assurances of Christ's resurrection will also bring great joy to us in our own time as well. Christ's likeness was recognized and his wounds were evident to his followers, yet those wounds brought no hindrance to our Lord as he dwelt among his people. May those same stories of Christ's appearance also help each of us realize and embrace the truth that no tragedy or difficulty here in our earthly existence will ever hinder our spiritual abilities in the here and now or dampen the greater joy we'll experience in your eternal realm. For as Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 tells us, God rescues us from the power of darkness and brings us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. Even as we may aspire toward the hope we have in Christ this second Sunday of Eastertide, and even as new life brings the emergence of the spring season, we are aware that many of your children the world over still suffer and grieve from the losses they endure at the hand of evil forces. May we, O God, for the people of Ukraine, continue to pray for them as they still assemble for worship and embrace the hope of Eastertide, even as many of their cities and towns are now nothing more than blackened rubble, and even as they've experienced the loss of many loved ones and others are suffering from injury. We all rest in the hope of Christ's resurrection, as we also offer the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yesterday, I received a photo of our 14-month-old granddaughter peeking her head out of the open lid and tub of their newly delivered upright washing machine, while she was also accompanied by several of her beloved stuffed toys. In response, I quipped back a text message to my son and daughter-in-law, "Oh my, please be sure to use the gentle cycle." When we think of our own sinful selves, surely in need of a good cleaning with the heavy-duty cycle, though, aren't we grateful that God also provides for us the gentle cycle? Christ already did all the dirty work. Our only need is to repent of our sin and humbly accept the great grace that God offers us simply out of his great love. This we remember in thanksgiving as we receive the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, and as our Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Our communion hymn number 214, Rock of Ages, we sing the first and third stanzas, please. As we gather at the Lord's table, let us remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads in prayer as Ron leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, as we take this bread, we remember that you are the bread of life. And you feed our souls, you nourish our hearts, you give us your peace. Lord, as we drink from this cup, we remember that you are the giver of life, you are forgiveness, you bring peace to our souls and love to our hearts. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome each of you to share. Thank you. As the spring season has arrived, I am once again able to delight in the multitude of birds that will, over the course of a single day, splash out as much as a third of the water that I pour into the bird bath just outside my home office window. Yet, just as much as we may delight in the presence of our feathered friends, enjoying the provisions of water and bird seed that we may offer them, may it be true that God equally delights in our enjoyment of the provisions that God wishes to offer not only us, but all of his children. We celebrate and give thanks for God's provision as we offer a portion in thanksgiving, as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Faithful Father, thank you that you give the gift of abundant eternal life. Your generosity overflows to us. Everything we have is a gift from you. As we bring our offerings to you, we give back to you from the abundant blessings you have given to us. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver and instruct us in how we can best use these offerings to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I'd like to share with you, a couple of texts. Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. Read a portion of this last week, but we need to repeat it as we are still focusing on the resurrection of Christ. Verses 5 through 10 of Matthew 28. The angel spoke to the woman, "You must not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has been raised just as he said. Come here and see the place where he was lying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples he has been raised from death and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you." So they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. "Do not be afraid," Jesus said to them. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now notice in both of those texts, the instructions are to go where? To go to Galilee, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 through 7, Paul writes, "I passed on to you what I received, which is of the greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins, as written in the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life 3 days later, as written in the Scriptures. And he appeared to Peter, and then to all 12 apostles. Then he appeared to more than 500 of his followers at once, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James and afterward to all the apostles. May we offer a word of prayer. Holy God, as the resurrected appearance of your Son and our Lord Jesus offered genuine hope for his followers, may we too experience reassurance of our own salvation as we affirm the same measure of hope Christ offers us today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Studying the final chapters of all four Gospels and the first chapter of Acts, we learn that our resurrected Lord Jesus made many appearances over the course of 40 days. Again, he didn't stay with them the whole time. He made appearances here and there, like spot appearances, if you will. And these appearances greatly encouraged his followers before his ascension. As Luke, the physician, writes in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, for 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond a doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. If you take the time, and you could actually do it this afternoon in between commercials while you're watching something else. It doesn't take that long. But if you take the time, you can read all of the accounts of Christ's resurrected appearance. However, you may find yourself quite confused because you'll be asking yourself, well, okay, where did our resurrected Lord meet his followers? Was it in Jerusalem? Was it in Galilee? Or was it in both places or other places? Well, the truth is, the answer is yes to all of that. But the problem that we encounter when we read the biblical accounts is that we Western folks like to read stories believing that there is a chronological order. Once upon a time, A, B, C, D, E, F, G happened. And then, of course, there is a conclusion. But in the Eastern mindset during biblical times, chronological order was never emphasized. Eastern writers gave details simply to inspire their audiences, not to give their audience a play-by-play account of the activities that we are so accustomed to wanting. Thus, the storyline can often skip over great sections of time from one sentence to the other and give you no warning whatsoever. So you'll begin to think, well, okay, he's talking about thus and so, and then all of a sudden he's talking about thus and that, but they don't mesh with something else from another story. But let's see if we can make sense of the accounts that we do read in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and, of course, that first section of the book of Acts. First, it is the women who have gone to the tomb at the break of the new day Sunday. For the dawn of Easter Sunday morning is the official end of the Sabbath. Remember, Sabbath started at dusk Friday and ended dawn Sunday. That's a long day, isn't it? But that's the full Sabbath, and Jesus' followers, of course, being a Jewish, they would have been accustomed to the tradition here. And they knew that once dawn broke on Sunday morning, they were then permitted to work. And the work they had before them was the final preparations of Jesus' body for burial. Yet it seems that it is first an angel of the Lord whom they encounter, and the angel tells the women, hurry, for they are to go to Galilee, for there they will meet Jesus. You get the sense that somehow they're supposed to do that immediately, don't you? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 7, the women at the tomb were told by the angel of the Lord, verse 7, go quickly now and tell his disciples, he has been raised from death, and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will meet him. It is repeated in Mark chapter 16, verse 7. Now go and give the message to his disciples, including Peter. He is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will meet him just as he told you. But then, even before anything happens in Galilee, the risen Lord Jesus first appears to these same women in the early morning hours of Easter Sunday. Matthew chapter 29, verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them, meaning Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And then again, we see that Jesus tells the women, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Then also in Mark's gospel and John's gospel, we have a couple of additional accounts about the resurrected Lord meeting, in this case, Mary Magdalene. So even though the word is go to Galilee, here Jesus does appear ahead of time. And then still in Jerusalem, during the afternoon of Easter Sunday, our resurrected Lord meets Simon and Cleopas on the road to Emmaus. And of course, that evening, as they see Jesus, they hurry back to catch up with the other disciples, if you will, and tell them the news. Jesus converses with them along the way, but it is when he breaks bread with them that they realize who he really is. Then in the evening hours of that first Easter Sunday, still in Jerusalem, our resurrected Lord appears to the apostles and to others. It was in the late hours of Easter Sunday morning that Jesus convinced doubting Thomas that he was indeed the risen Savior. And what we understand from these accounts is that the apostles likely remained in Jerusalem for at least a day, if not for several days, before they made their way to Galilee. Yet while in Jerusalem, the apostles and others were very much still in hiding as they feared the possibility of arrest by the Jewish authorities. For you know the Jewish authorities by this time are really upset because they have heard about the resurrection of Christ from who? Remember last Sunday? Who told them? Who would have told them? It was the guards themselves, right? What they saw in the appearance of the angel and the rolling away of the stone. And what we realize is that in each of these appearances of our risen Lord Jesus on this first Easter Sunday, these appearances are very personal. They are also very private. And they are our appearances to the immediate followers of Jesus to give them great assurance that everything he had said indeed did happen as it had been prophesied, and that he truly was the one and only genuine Messiah. But as the Apostle Peter later writes in Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that after Jesus appeared to the 12 apostles, notice that the appearance to Mary Magdalene or the women is not even mentioned. That as the text goes on, it is stated by the Apostle Paul that Jesus had appeared to more than 500 of his followers at one time. So this was one big, large gathering of folks, was it not? Well, where did that take place? Not in Jerusalem. If it had been in Jerusalem or anywhere in Judea, don't you know, the Jewish officials would have just stormed them and been so upset about the whole situation. But the northern province of Galilee was miles away from the scrutiny of the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. Jesus' teachings had always been more welcomed in Galilee. It was in Galilee where Jesus had done most of his teaching and most of his healing events had taken place. It was in Galilee that the people, therefore, were so much more receptive to Christ. It was, even though it's not clearly stated, it was surely in Galilee that Jesus appeared to, as the apostle tells us, 500 people at one time. And it was also in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus reconciled himself to Simon Peter as they cooked fish caught in the early morning hours, as recorded in John chapter 21. And in verse 7, Paul also tells us that the resurrected Jesus met with his brother James. who was finally convinced that Jesus must indeed be the true Messiah. This too quite likely happened somewhere in Galilee. And it is also quite likely that there were many, many more special occurrences of the risen Lord that we have no written account of, and many of those likely took place in Galilee. But as the 40 days began to wane and the next Jewish festival was drawing near, the apostles and likely many other Jewish followers of Jesus made their way from Galilee back to Jerusalem for the Jewish feast that was called the Feast of First Fruits. It was again one of those three required annual festivals for Jewish men, especially if they lived within a certain distance of Jerusalem. Luke the physician continues the story as he writes in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, "And when they came together, Jesus gave them this order, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Now, we kind of jump into a certain place to go watch like the Super Bowl or something, then we just jump out. We can do that because we do that with airplanes and the like, and cars that get us there quickly. In this time period for the festivals, people took days to get there, spent days there, and then left when the festival was finally over with. So when we see this text that it says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait," this is not something that was said early, right after the resurrection of Jesus. This is days later, once the disciples had returned to Jerusalem from Galilee, that Jesus is saying, "Wait a little longer." And of course, what happens is the blessing of what we call Pentecost, 50 days, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. But 10 days prior to Pentecost, near Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives, near the village of Bethany that Jesus loved, Jesus made his final resurrected appearance to his disciples. We recall that it was on the Mount of Olives that Jesus had begun his ride on the donkey into Jerusalem, and that was on Palm Sunday, the week before Easter, remember? And this time on the Mount of Olives, Jesus ascended into heaven in what we call Ascension Day, telling his apostles to go out into all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. So you see, many occurrences took place. But yet, when you try to read what happens in those accounts of the New Testament, boy, it does get confusing, because right in the middle, from one sentence to the next, there's a huge change, but you just don't know it, because you don't know enough about all the background. But we then ask ourselves, what is it that we have learned about the 40 days of Christ's resurrected presence among his followers that can have meaning for us? Well, first of all, Jesus made appearances in his resurrected form in private ways, in very close, intimate surroundings. Isn't it true that many people are touched by the Spirit of God in more private, intimate settings of one-on-one? Yet at the same time, we know that once the disciples were able to get to Galilee, a place in which the message of the gospel was certainly more resonant with many of the people up there who didn't care too much at all for those folks down in Judea, it was an opportunity for the gospel to be spread all the more, and for Jesus to make appearances to even larger groups of people. Isn't it true that many people are touched by the Spirit of God when they are in the assembly of a great worship service or an evangelistic event? Christ wants to be there also. But what it should also say to you and I is that the resurrected appearances to Jesus' followers was the pinnacle of achievement that helped them to truly believe that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, and it was worth all the energy they had to commit for them to share that message for the duration of their lives, that Christianity might be affirmed and spread throughout all the nations. And for you and I, you know, we've not been blessed with an opportunity to see the real risen Lord Jesus. All we have is the story. But yet we embrace the story as truth. And as we embrace it, we know we have the hope of life eternal, because just as Christ raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life, as Paul writes in the book of Romans. So do you believe it? I hope you do. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, Thine is the Glory, we're going to stand and sing all three stanzas of hymn number 218, please. This morning. And Nanette, thank you so much for your assistance today. Thank you. And we wish you all the very best as you journey forward in this Sunday afternoon. May we pray. Lord God, your Spirit is with us to grant us a great measure of your strength, renewal, and we indeed have hope in the resurrection of Christ, that we too may one day rise from the dead and celebrate the glory of your eternal grace. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. When we are called to part, it gives